As we begin and continue in our series on discipleship and what it means to be a disciple, that we are disciples, and this morning we're going to be talking about being stronger when we serve together, not just as individuals, but together. And as I am thinking about that service, I do want to make sure that I remind you that next Sunday, there will not be a worship service in this building. Next Sunday is our Church Left the Building Sunday. So if you have signed up for Church Left the Building, that means you're gonna arrive at Grace Church at 8:30-ish, around that time. You're going to meet out in the parking lot, find your job site number, stand there and wait for somebody to come and pray for you, and then you'll head out to your job site. If you have signed up for Church Left the Building, the job sites are listed on the wall as you exit these doors to the left. You'll see your job site number, what you're doing, and the address you're going to. If no one has spoken to you yet, you will get a call this week from either one of the helpers, the pastors, myself, someone from Grace Church, or from your site leader. They will call you and give you the details about your site, what to bring, if you need to bring tools or whatever, gloves, that kind of stuff. They'll give you the rundown on that. So someone will contact you this week. If you've signed up for Kitchen, you will talk to Diane O'Neill. She will probably be in touch with you at some point if she hasn't already talked to you today because she saw you. This week she'll come and talk to you or call you. If you've signed up just to do food, she will also be in touch with you regarding food. We do run food throughout the day, starting around 11-ish. So teams that finish up around lunchtime are able to come back to the church and have lunch together. If you finish up after lunch, you can come back and you can still have some food. We run that till the sites are all in. We don't stop serving food until everybody's done. If you're at a site and you have lunch and you go to another site, you can come back and have more food. You can have as much food as you want that day. We will keep feeding you. So that's how the day is going to work. So just a reminder to you, if you've not signed up or participating, if you come to the worship service next Sunday, the building will be empty because the church left the building. The church is out in the county serving others and being the hands and feet of Jesus in that way. So service is a big part of what we do as disciples. If you have any questions about that aspect of service, come talk to me after the worship service and I can help you out with that. But this morning, before we have communion, as I said after we sang that first song, our singing is really a response to something God did. Communion is, again, a response for us, gives us the opportunity to respond. Communion itself is God offering us. He's our host. That's the imagery we get in Scripture. And as a host who has invited us to his table, as a result of that meal we share and where, once again, we're reminded of God's grace, reminded of his mercy, reminded of his forgiveness, we get to respond. And that's really what Paul's talking about here as the body of Christ, as serving others. We were talking about that last week with the letter he wrote to the churches in the Ephesus area, that region of the world. Paul used this same idea of responding to God through service. Now, God has given gifts to the church. We talked about that, people and abilities and strengths. We'll talk a little bit about that today and really go into that, not next Sunday, but the following Sunday in Corinthians. But I want us to, as I read this for you, think about the church as the body. The body of Christ as a body. So Paul used that reference in the book of Ephesians. We talked about it last week. Jesus, when he is being tested in the desert by Satan, is offered bread as he's coming out of fasting for 40 days and nights in the desert. He's offered bread, and Jesus says, man does not live on bread alone, but on the very word of God. And the idea is that we need something more than just bread. That in the bread we're going to have, it's like a little tiny cube. That obviously can't sustain you, but it's doing something else. This simple act of eating bread, which we do need to live, we need sustenance in our bodies to live, physical food. This little act of this piece of bread is telling us that we don't live on bread alone, but on the very word of God. God does something in us to give us life. That life doesn't end when we die, actually. That life that bread gives, the bread of life, Jesus, offers eternal life. So when we think about being the body of Christ, we need to think about it in the way of being a body. So if you are a body, you have one, believe it or not, it's there. Maybe it's taller than others, maybe it's rounder than others, but your body needs food, needs sleep, needs exercise. Yes, you should exercise. Your body needs exercise. Some of us are better at that than others. So here's what I want us to think about. The body of Christ also needs exercise. The image I'm going to put up on the screen, don't confuse it with me. I'm not putting a picture of me up there. You might be confused by that when I show it to you, but it's not me. But this is the image I want you to think about the body of Christ, a healthy, vibrant, flourishing body of Christ ought to be working out as disciples. Discipleship takes working out, exercising those spiritual muscles. And when you exercise all those spiritual muscles really, really well, this is what you look like. Now, he's probably a little bit taller than me, but other than that, I mean, we're close. If we want to be healthy as a body and exercise, that's what discipleship is. It's exercising those spiritual muscles. Actually, we don't do that in isolation. You can't be a healthy member of the church without exercising with the body. It takes the body to do that. Because we're not isolated individuals out there somewhere. When we're incorporated into the body of Christ, you join the church. And everything that Paul said last week, everything he's going to say this week about being the body means all of us. It includes every single one of us. Our exercise needs partners. We can't exercise by ourselves. We actually got to do it together. And when we don't exercise, we kind of let ourselves go. I used the word stagnant last week. Maybe we felt stagnant in our life as a disciple of Jesus. Well, maybe that's because we're not exercising enough, spiritually speaking. And part of that exercising together is actually serving. That's what Paul's going to point out here. So when we talk about a fit body of Christ, this is the image, this one, not the new ones of Arnold. He's a little older. Those muscles aren't quite as tight. Just so you know, if you got all those muscles, when you turn like 60 or so, they start not hanging on to your body as close. So this is the image that I want you to think about. A healthy, flourishing, fit body of Christ. Not physically, but spiritually speaking. When Paul talks about that, talks about the body, the gifts, how we use them, all that kind of stuff, he's saying that together. Ted's spiritual exercise can't just be Ted doing that by himself. It actually doesn't work that way, as Ephesians pointed out, and as Paul's going to point out here in Romans. We think very individualistically in our culture. Everything is about us. We think about us and oftentimes our own spiritual health. Well, I'm going to work as hard as I can and spiritually exercise as hard as I can so I can look like that guy, spiritually speaking. But actually, that's a detriment to the church. Now, having said that, I want us to remember this also, that unity, being the body, the many members being one, Paul's going to use that language, does not mean uniformity. Who said that? 1,000 gold stars to you. She sounded a little like Arnold there. Unity does not mean uniformity. We're not all supposed to think exactly alike, do exactly the same thing, agree with everything that each other thinks and does. We are still a diverse group of people. You bring all that with you to the church. And God doesn't ask you to leave that at the door when you walk in with the body. Unity is describing something else. It's actually describing a exercise program where in which the whole body is exercised, not just one part of it. But unity does not mean uniformity. We'll talk more about that with the Corinthians passage in these varying gifts. This morning, I want to focus on these gifts, not defining each gift Paul is talking about here, but how these different gifts are being brought into the body for service. That God has blessed us with gifts, some of them being supernaturally given to us that we didn't possess before, like when he talks about prophesying. That is directly related to the church and God's revelation. There's another gift he talks about, encouraging. Maybe that's just who you are. You are a person who loves to encourage others. You're good at it. It just comes natural to you. And when you become a part of the body of Christ, the Spirit just gives that. That's like your superpower. You just are such an amazing encourager, and people are just, they spend time with you and they love being with you because you can encourage them. That's a gift. Prophesying is a gift. Encouraging is a gift. God brings all of those varying gifts together to unify around a mission. A mission that is set out in response to something he has done. Ephesians said this. Ephesians, the letter was written in a way, chapter 4 was written in a way that you and I are responding to what Christ has done. Paul, again, he says a lot in chapter 1 through 11 and uses the word therefore. Because of everything I've just said, here is what our response ought to be. So he is once again leading into this discussion about the body of Christ, this service to one another, these gifts that God has given as a response of what we should do because of what Jesus did for us, this gracious gift of salvation. Again, God's going to offer that. When you get the bread and you take the cup, that's God offering to you, once again, a reminder of the grace that he has given you, the salvation he has provided in his son Jesus, and you have the opportunity to respond in some way to that. Well, that's basically what Paul is saying here to the church in Rome. Because of everything I've just said about what God has done in Christ for the church, through the Holy Spirit now, he says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Now that seems like a contradiction. Living sacrifice. When you think about sacrifice, you don't think about things that are alive. Or maybe you think it starts alive, but then it doesn't end that way. The living sacrifice. A sacrifice is something that dies. So how does Paul say to us, we are to offer ourselves as living sacrifice? Well, in light of what God has done in Christ, because of Christ's sacrifice, because of Christ's death, we can live. And so it's not our death that we offer our bodies towards. It's because of the death of Christ that we now offer our living bodies. Somehow, the mystery is that through Jesus' death, you and I have life. I did a funeral this past Friday that I said that even though we die, we live. So even when death comes, we don't die. We live. Paul says, because that is offered to you through Jesus' death, you offer your life back to him. You offer it back holy and pleasing to God, set apart for his honor, for his glory. This is your true and proper worship. Offering your life. Not, hey, I attend church on Sunday morning as your true and proper worship. It's a part of that. It's a response to something God has done. Not, hey, I read my Bible, I can check that off the list. Not, hey, I prayed today, I can check that off the list. What we are to offer back to God is our whole life. Not just a piece, not just a part, not just amount of time. Because of what God has done in Christ, because of God's mercy, offer your lives back to Him, because Jesus offered His for you. And now you no longer die, but live. And that life begins when we give our lives to Him. And when we do that, that is our true and proper act of worship. And He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Giving your life back to God. What we would say, being born again. Believing in Jesus, confessing Jesus as Lord, transformation takes place, and it changes the way we think about things, the way we see the world, the way we interact with the people around us. He says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. If we are disciples of Jesus, we ought to want to know God's ways. God, I want to know You and Your ways. We could call that God's will. But when we give our lives to Jesus and He begins renewing our mind through the work of the Spirit and helping us see the world, our lives, everything differently, it's not going to be as challenging to know what God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will is. It's pretty obvious. He doesn't want you to lie to your wife or your husband. He doesn't want you to lie to your neighbor or your friend or your boss or the government or whoever. It's not that hard to figure out. God's ways, He's made them clear and plain in His word. When Jesus, through the power of the Spirit, begins transforming my mind, I'm not going to operate the way the world operates. And the more I exercise these discipleship muscles, these spiritual muscles, the more I know God and His ways. And the more that I begin to look like Jesus. I don't do that in isolation from all of you. That happens with you, not apart from you. Paul's going to continue to point that out when he talks about the gifts. But he says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, because of what he just said, before he leads into the service and the gifts and the body working together, before he leads into all that, he says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. We come to the table, every single one of us. I say this almost every time we do communion together. I come to the table, figuratively speaking, as a sinner in need of grace. So do you. So does every priest, pastor, holy man or woman that ever lived. All the important people, the famous people, everybody approaches the same exact way. A sinner in need of grace. And we all come to church that same way. So before we get this idea that I'm better than you or that my gift is better than your gift, as Paul's going to point out, the transforming of our mind helps us to see ourselves as a humble servant, because that's what Jesus was. And working out these spiritual muscles, discipleship really is all about service. So now Paul brings in this image of the body. For just as each one of us has one body with many members, we all walked in here with the body that has many different parts, members. My hand doesn't do the same thing as my foot does. And all the stuff going on inside of me you can't even see, but it's all kind of working together to enable me to do everything I'm doing right now. And it's all functioning, and they all have different roles. They don't all do the same thing. So just as one body has many members, these members all do not have the same function. So in Christ, though many, there's a bunch of people in here today, we don't all have the same function, But we form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Now, this is the challenge for us, I think, in the American context, in which my discipleship, my spiritual health, my ability to be the disciple that I truly desire to be doesn't happen apart from the body of Christ that Jesus has incorporated me into. We belong to each other. As individualistic society, that's hard for us to grasp. But if Ted is trying to work out his spiritual muscles, it's kind of like if I just did arm curls, bicep curls. That's all I did. Today, I went home, and for the next month, that's all I did. I worked out one arm. I did some curls. I did whatever this is for your triceps. I started doing one-arm push-ups. No, actually, that would work out other parts. All I'm doing is my arm. I'd have an arm like Arnold, and the rest of me would look like this. I'd look pretty weird. I'd be able to do a lot with that one arm. But if I think about my spiritual life, my discipleship, apart from all of you, that's what it's going to look like. We can't be the body that's fit and flourishing and vibrant and accomplishing all that God has intended for us to accomplish, to be on this mission of advancing the kingdom forward. We can't do all that if each of us are doing our own thing, spiritually working out that arm, and I'm not even worried about all of you guys. And I think that gift that I have is all about making me better. That happens in the church, where discipleship becomes about my faith and my walk and everything that I'm doing. And if you can't get me where I want to go, then maybe I'll go find some other body of Christ to work out in. But the issue is not the body. The issue is we're confused about what it means that each member belongs to all the others. I can't do this in isolation from all of you. If we're going to be a healthy body, it's going to happen because these gifts that are being used, or being given, I should say, are being used in the body. The many make up one. That's a profound concept to think about. That's why it's printed on your money, on your coin. In diversity, there is unity. That's what the United States has put on their money. Where do you think that came from? This amazing concept of diversity but unity. Many members doing one thing. Lots of parts for the whole. It's an image of the church. And I can't do that in isolation from all of you. And in fact, if you want to work out those spiritual muscles, if you want to be fed on not just bread alone, but on the bread of life, that happens in the body of Christ. When we become believers, we've not received salvation in isolation from others. And even in this letter to Rome, where there's Jew and Gentile, and they were two groups that never got together, Paul is saying, God has grafted in this group. They can't do what God wants to have done by themselves. You're going to be one. I'm not doing this in isolation of other people. Many members, one body, doing different things, each belonging to the other, so that the world may know what God has done in Christ. So Paul says we have different gifts. That's pretty obvious. You all have different gifts. Now he's going to list some here. According to the grace given to each of us, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And he kind of keeps that same kind of tone going through the entire thing. And so in verse 9, he says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. He just goes through this entire list of all these things that only happen together. The gifts are going to happen together. The loving one another is going to happen together. All of it is taking place within the body. Because the reality is, if you are part of the body of Christ, you ought to be living a life of service, serving others. What Paul is identifying in this passage, I think the reason he starts with the therefore, because of what God has done, in this passage, he starts it in the passage in Ephesians, is because we are simply responding to something God has already done. So when you hear the word ethic, if you're doing ethics, if you have an ethical decision you have to make, it's all about right and wrong, but it's really about a way in which we're choosing to live or behave, to conduct ourselves. And a lot of times we base those ethics off of moral values. Well, how do we know what's right? How do we know what's wrong? What's good? What's bad? Paul seems to be basing off our decision to live lives holy and pleasing to God and offering them up as a living sacrifice, not in a moral sense, oh, that's a part of being a disciple, but actually our response, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. In view of Jesus having his body broken, his blood shed, for you and for me, in view of that, that amazing act of love, though you didn't deserve it, in fact, you deserved judgment, Jesus goes to the cross. While you were yet sinners, Jesus goes to the cross. Even though you have rebelled against me since then, Jesus offers forgiveness. In view of God's mercy, offer your life as a living sacrifice back to him. Our response as Christians, our response as the body of Christ, willing to serve others in our church, willing to serve others in our community, in fact, even willing to serve our enemies. That's as far as Jesus goes. Our willingness to do that is a response to Jesus himself doing it for us. And so we offer our lives, not just some time, not just a moment in our day. We actually offer all that we are back to him to be used for him in service to him. And when we do that, when we offer it back to him, he incorporates us into the body of Christ, the church. And you bring your gifts, your talents, your abilities, and maybe God even gifts you with something you didn't even know you could do, through the power of the Spirit, for the purpose of telling the rest of the world what God has done in Christ. We willingly choose to offer our lives to serve Jesus because of what Jesus has done, and he changes the way we think, the way we see things, the way we talk to people, the way we treat people, the way we behave in situations. He changes everything about us. It's a transformation. The word that's actually being used is like, that thing was a caterpillar. I just saw it. It went in there. It made a cocoon, and where did it go? It's now this butterfly. That's what's taking place. Or they use words like born again. That's how radical this is. It's like you're being born for the first time. You finally have received life the way God intends. It's like you're this old creation. You know what it looks like when you haven't worked out. You stop eating, you stop drinking, you stop working out, and you're kind of wasting away, and you're frail and fragile, and someone could just do it like that, and they'd knock you over. What the Spirit is doing is making you a new creation, transforming you from that frail and feeble and fragile to Arnold, and making movies, and shooting, coming out of helicopters, and telling people the bridge is out. That's my favorite quote by Arnold Schwarzenegger, by the way. That's what transformation looks like. That's how radical it is. That's what Jesus is doing in our lives as disciples when we are working out those spiritual muscles. But that's not happening to Ted by himself. In fact, Ted can't be like that by himself because Ted's brought into the body of Christ. And if I'm the foot, as we'll talk about in Corinthians 2 weeks from now, I got to do my part. And if you're the hand, you got to do your part, because it all works itself together so that we're fit and flourish and healthy, and that the world sees Jesus in us. The body of Jesus is not literally here. He's left. Acts 1:8 says he left his disciples. He's gone. He's coming back. But while he's gone, how does the world know who Jesus is? The body. We are that vessel that Jesus now works through. And as I said last week, as hard as it is for us to fathom being like Jesus, he is the example we follow and the one we are seeking to attain to be like. And Ted can't do that by himself. He does it in connection with the church, the body of Christ. And whatever I have is actually a gift for the church, for the body. And my discipleship, if I am a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, transformed by the power of the Spirit, offering my life as a living sacrifice back to him, then the way that that actually plays out is I offer it back to you as well. Whatever gifts I have are for you, are for this world, or even for my enemy. It was hard for Jews to embrace Gentiles. And Paul is writing to a church in Rome where that's exactly what they had to do. These two groups that could not get along, that were enemies, are now united together, and they got to work together for the mission God's given them. He's doing that same thing for us. Just like your family, hey, you guys don't always get along, probably. There's issues within your family, probably. All of our biological families have that in some way, shape, or form. But this family's a little different. Read verse 9 through the end of that. Because this family operates the way that Jesus has called us to operate. And when we do that, we're actually being the body of Christ. It's like Christ is walking around again. Have you seen that church over there? If we're going to be disciples and make disciples, then we need to serve one another for the work of ministry. The saints have been given these gifts, Paul says in Ephesus, for the work of ministry, for doing the stuff that God has called us to do that's going to put us in places to tell other people about Jesus, to reach the least of these, to talk to the people that think the world has forgotten about them, to encourage one another, to remind each other we're not alone in this, to help each other stay on that right path, the right thinking, transformed mind. No, a follower of Jesus doesn't treat people that way. We need to change some things. And we walk alongside them and help them do that. Discipleship is about service, not sitting in a service. This, what we're doing right now, is a response that you and I are given to God. We come here and we sing, we pray, we talk, we share, you mill around, you talk to each other. Maybe you're coming into a small group in some way. It's our response to God. Discipleship, the actual exercising, takes place in service to each other. We see things, we think differently. We try and be there for one another. We sacrifice things. We do things in a way that's going to help that brother or sister fulfill their part in the body of Christ. Because if we're not all doing our part, it's like we're working out that one arm. And that's it. And we're not going to look much like a healthy body. And oftentimes, we don't really look like Jesus either. So this morning, as we'll go into a time of communion together, a communion service, we're going to have a song of preparation just to get our minds, thoughts turned toward what Jesus has done. Discipleship is about service. It really is. You have opportunities to do that with each other on a regular basis. We actually are intentional at Grace about giving us opportunities to serve, whether that be service to the body, to one another, or service to other people. Our Church Left the Building event is that. It's service to other people, and you get to use gifts, talents, abilities to serve God and to serve others and exercise those spiritual muscles. And when we do that as a church, that's why we do it as a whole church. That's why I don't even have a worship service on a Sunday, because I want us to see us doing this together. Whether you're actually physically going out there and doing something, whether you're just making food, whether you're praying for us that day because you know we're out there, we're all doing something as the body. And we're exercising together. Because really, discipleship is about service. It's about serving others. Because really, it's exactly what Jesus did. This is what he said. This is what he said to his disciples. The Messiah, God in the flesh, standing before us, says to his disciples, "I have not come to be served." If there's anybody on this planet that deserved service, it was Jesus. And he says, "I've not come to be served, but to serve." And he did that throughout his ministry. And in fact, he served in a way in which he gave his own life up for you and for me. And so now we can offer our lives back as a living sacrifice, because we don't die when we do that. Jesus died in our place. Now we live. Maybe for the first time. Transformed, new creation, born again. And our response to that is a life of service in the body of Christ. We're here, Grace Church is here, because people took that seriously and continued to serve one another and continued the mission God has called us to. The body of Christ, this exercising of our discipleship, is for a purpose. And it's not to go to some show like Arnold and the strongman competition and show off. The purpose actually is to invite one more person to join this body, to experience this grace, to live a different life, to be transformed. There's a lot of people desiring that. A lot of brokenness out there that the only way it's going to get put back together is Jesus. And we're him, the body of Christ. We're supposed to be doing that everywhere we go. If you have felt like maybe your spiritual workout program is kind of like your New Year's resolution to begin working out, and you get that Planet Fitness membership that's free for, what, the first month or whatever, and you're like, "Yeah, I'm going to do it." And it's like January 16th, and you're like, "Oh, gosh, it's cold out. It just snowed." Spiritual life can be like that, too. Maybe you felt like that in your own discipleship. If we are disciples who make disciples, that comes through service. Maybe the reason you're feeling that way, unhealthy, fatigued, spiritually speaking, is because you're not serving. We're going to talk about in the coming weeks how we do that at Grace Church, ways that you can do that. But I want to just remind us before we sing, I just want to remind us that our response, our willingness to do that, is therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, our reason for living the way that we live is gratitude. In view of God's great mercy, Jesus has sacrificed himself for us that we might actually experience life, and has incorporated us into his body, this church family, to live our lives for him, to know his ways, to show the world the kingdom that he's setting up, very different than the kingdom of this world. People see that through us when we are serving each other, when we are working out together this spiritual fitness regime that we ought to be on. And what people will see will be a vibrant, healthy, strong body. And when that happens, well, you can read about that taking place in the church in Acts. People are so compelled by that image. They just want to be a part of it. They want it. They want to have that health and strength. That is found in Jesus. This morning, as we have communion, I want to put that in your mind. Let this communion give you another chance to offer a response to God. Say, God, I'm going to give my life back to you as a living sacrifice to be used by you. And when you say that, what you're saying is, God, I'm willing to serve you. Here at Grace Church, here in our community, even my enemies, if that's what it takes. So that the world might know and see what you've done in your Son Jesus. Let's pray. God, this morning we are thankful, grateful, in view of your rich and amazing mercy. God, we are grateful and thankful that you have given us life instead of death. In fact, you've given us life that death can't even defeat. And we can start living that now, Lord. We can start living that life by offering ourselves back to you. God, if we have felt like maybe we've spiritually been weak and fragile, maybe spiritually we've just felt out of shape, God, I pray that you would use this time that we're going to spend together this morning, remembering this great mystery that we sung about of you once again imparting your grace to us through the bread and the cup. God, I pray that this would be an opportunity for us to respond once again by giving our lives over to you and serving one another, living as you have called us to live as the body of Christ. God, I pray that we would take this opportunity seriously as we come in this place. I come just the same as everybody else came this morning, through those doors, sinners in need of grace. God, forgive us for where we've rebelled against you. Forgive us for where we've failed. Forgive us for, God, when we constantly come to you and say, I've sinned again, Lord. I've done it again, and I've done it again. God, forgive us. God, this morning as we sing this song, I pray that we're reminded that we are forgiven. That sacrifice was complete. That Jesus gave it all for us. May we in this place, those watching, experience that forgiveness again. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.